Welcome to the Creative Strengths Podcast. Today's episode is all about teaching. It's for teachers, and I'm welcoming a special guest, a teacher himself, Adrian Gordon. He's been an orchestra classroom teacher for 18 years, private teacher of violin and cello viola. He's going to be talking about ways that teachers can discover, rediscover motivation, as well as tools for you to be the best teacher you can be while taking care of yourself in the process. So I hope you're going to enjoy this episode. You can learn more about Adrian Gordon at adriangordonmusic.com. He has a new book called Note to Self. It's for teachers. He's going to cover a lot of that in our episode. And I want to thank our sponsors, Yamaha and Electric Violin Shop. And more about them later. And now let's get into the conversation. Hope you enjoy it. Mr. Gordon, thank you so much for being with me. I'm excited about your new book called Note to Self. And I have taken a look through a lot of this book. I feel like this is good for any music teacher that is going through stages of evolution in their journey, all the stages. You've been through, I think, a lot of these stages because you've been teaching for how long now?
This is my 18th year teaching. But it's been a while.
So you've taught in all different domains of classrooms, right? Like orchestra, band, choir, what are they?
Yeah, I started with general music, which was really fun. And then I did choir, I've done strings, I've been assistant band director. So I've kind of gone through everything. And I guess through all those jumps and transitions, I've seen a lot of overlap and the things that really help develop strong music programs.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So what are the three main things that people should think about if they're building their own teaching program? And whether they're getting a job, the first job at a school, taking a new job at a school. I mean, I know a lot of your book talks about that when you're changing from one program to another, but again, I feel like it's applicable to anybody. What should a teacher, the three main questions they should answer about like building their program, getting their program started?
Well, I think there's three main questions that you should start. And I really think it starts with your own expectations. So what I have gone through in my own practice is thinking about why am I teaching? And I think it's important to think about not just the what we're teaching, but why we're teaching what we're doing. You know, we all have that impact that music has had as educators. We know the impact of it and we know how valuable it's been. And we want to see that passed on to our students. But you know, when the school year gets rolling along and tasks pile up and things get busy, we might lose sight of that. And it's important to kind of refocus and reflect on the why and our professional purpose.
How do you do that when you're getting just hammered with, you know, complaints from parents, squeezed by administration, the kids are acting up? Like, how do you pull yourself out of that?
Well, the first thing that I try and remember is that, yes, we're in the music field, but more so we're in the field of people. I think if we remember that first and foremost, I think it's easier to guide everything else that we do. But also, I like to talk about, in my own practice, who am I as a music educator? And I think that helps me guide through when things are difficult, when people are beating up on me, parents, administration. I think about who am I as an educator? Who am I as a person? And you know, me personally, I think I'm strong, I'm gracious, and I'm caring. And I try and run my program through that lens the entire time, not just when, you know, the paint's wet and I'm the new guy, the knight in shining armor, but when things are really difficult. Can I run everything through that lens and say, you know what, no matter what's going on, this is who I am. This is how I'm going to treat you and interact with you.
Wow. I love that. This is like, I need this for my life, let alone teaching. So it's like kind of just having like the, almost a mantra or like a kind of always coming back to like, what are my values? Let me remind myself I'm strong, I'm gracious and kind. Is that what it was?
And caring.
Caring. Sorry. Yeah. Strong, gracious, and caring. I remember someone told me, because I've never been certified or trained as a teacher, but obviously I've been teaching for like 20 years or more. But when I started, I was really self-conscious about the fact that like, well, I'm a performer.
I don't really know how to teach. Like, where's the handbook? And I asked someone, they said, how do you teach? They said, there's three things. One is come from a place of love. One is to come to your students at their level. And one is to be like two steps ahead of whatever it is that you need to show them. And, but mainly come from a place of love. And that's, you're speaking to that, being caring.
Yeah, I think in my own experience, my secondary school experience, I realized that even the teachers that I didn't really share their passion for their discipline, I knew that they cared. And I was ready to fly to the moon and back with them, not even sharing that same passion, but I knew that they cared about me as a person, and they saw me as a person. They saw past the content, past the facts and the figures. And that made me want to jump on that train, you know, much more readily than if I was just sitting in a class and I didn't think the professor or teacher cared, or, you know, a rip about me. So I think that's really important as educators, as music educators, that no matter what discipline you're teaching, you really show your students that you care first and foremost.
So you said know your why, but then the thing we're talking about now, it strikes me as kind of know who you are or what you stand for. I mean, being kind, gracious, and strong, that's not the same as a why, right? Or is it the same? Like, what is your why?
Well, the why is to, I think, to affect people. I think, you know, just like you don't light a candle and put it under a shade, you play music, yes, you practice in a practice room, but ultimately it's meant to be performed and affect people, touch people, touch their hearts. So in that same way, you know, the why is we want to make sure that we're not just teaching music, we're not just playing the notes on the page, but we're affecting people. I think that's really important. And it goes beyond just, like I said, just the notes on the page. Anyone can do that. We have computer programs for that. You know what I mean?
What this takes me to is like the idea of like of a music teacher that part of the goal or the competing agenda is like, we want to get like a high score on a performance, or we want to like make the audience jump out of their seats or like beat some other school or get more All-State or whatever, you know, but that, what I'm hearing from you is like, that may not be as important at the end of the day as those kids in your program, each one of them kind of feeling something.
Yeah, I think there is room for, you know, healthy competition and wanting to be the best program around. But I do think that there's a lot to be said for really connecting with people. I think that's what music ultimately does. It connects with people. Yeah. And that shouldn't stop, you know, just in the classroom. I think it needs to move in the classroom and beyond. And if we can keep showing our students that, hey, this is what we're doing to pass this feeling of, I don't know, and goodness and enjoyment to other people. And that's our language, you know, as musicians, that's what we speak. So I think it's important to pass that along, not just in the classroom, but beyond.
So knowing your why and then kind of anchoring that with some values and a really sense of like, what do I stand for? Like, these are the three things I want to embody all the time, for example. I like that. Now, you said there's three though, right? What are the three big questions? Or maybe I got that wrong. For some reason, I was thinking there was three.
Yeah. The third question is, what's your vision? And this is probably one of the most important questions too, because you got to have a vision for where you want the program to go. And you want to clearly define it. And it can be something that it comes from you. It may be something that's joint between you and the students, or you, the students and administration. But it's a clearly defined vision that everybody's aware of, including the parents. So all that you guys do kind of, it tracks along with that vision. So if there's something that, hey, I really want to play this music as your director, but is it aligned with my vision? Is it aligned with the vision of the program? Or is it something just for me personally to feel good about? You know what I mean? It kind of helps us reflect and refocus our energies, no matter what angle it's coming from. So if it's a student, you know, you can even ask that question to a student. What you're doing, are you adding to the vision of the program? And really, it helps everybody stay accountable, everybody stay focused. And I think that's really important. And also, whatever that vision is, I think it has to be, you got to set a priority, and it needs to be incremental. So you don't want to have this vision and this priority where I'm going to completely revamp a program and, you know, bring a huge shock to the system. So you're going to prioritize what you want to see happen. And again, that can be agreed upon with all parties, but then just set incremental changes. In the book, I talk about how it's like the frog in the boiling pot of water. You know, if you slowly turn up the heat, you know, the frog is a lot more likely to stay in, as opposed to just throwing the frog in the boiling pot of water. And I'm not advocating for boiling kids, but just the idea that
right. Yeah, turn up the heat slowly, like if you're gonna make changes. When especially if you're talking about going into a new, if for teachers that get hired in a new school or something like that, right, and they're exactly. New, but the school's been there, the administration's been there, the parents, you know, the community. Correct. That makes a lot of sense.
If you are a string teacher and you are interested in improvisation, eclectic styles of music, and teaching your students or yourself to become a more creative, functional, versatile musician, I've got lots of ways that we can help you, both through professional development as well as providing curriculum, visiting your school in person or on Zoom to work with your students and to give you more tools so that you can teach things that possibly were left out of your training. Just reach out to me at chris@christianhouse.com. chris@christianhouse.com, and I'll be happy to help. We have in-person retreats for teachers. We do school visits. We even license curriculum that you can use with your students, not to mention hundreds of free play-along videos at the Christian House YouTube channel.
So wait, so did we cover three though? So know your why, have articulate a vision, and is there another one?
So know your why, and then who am I as an educator? That was the second one. And okay. For example, I said I am strong, gracious, and caring. That's who I am, and that's what I want to portray to my community.
Got you. I love that. And so, can you give me an example of a vision, like maybe the vision you have at the program you're at now, or a vision that you heard from somebody else that you really like, or I'm just curious.
So the vision that I've kind of been going by for the past several years has been hard work, excellence, and I'm sorry, hard work, excellence, and community. I want to see those three things in my program. And we always kind of filter everything through that lens. We're going to work hard, and myself included, which means I'm not going to show up in front of you students or at the concert in front of the parents, administration, and not give my all. I'm going to make sure I'm accountable to you guys. So hard work comes on my end too. And then excellence is something that we can all strive for, because it kind of looks different for every student in an ensemble, where someone's personal best may not be as high as somebody else's, but it's okay. We're just reaching for that personal best. And then community. I really think a strong sense of community helps bring an ensemble together, because you can't really play well together unless you get along. I mean, I guess you could, but it's really hard. So building that community. So I like to do things like bowling and ice skating and just really fun events where all the students get to talk and hang out and really have no pressure and develop those bonds and friendships that really they don't see in any other class.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It reminds me a little bit of the martial arts studio that my son's a part of. They do a really, here in Asheville, they just, this particular, the place where we found, it's called Sun Tzu, but Dalton, my son, has just, and I joined it recently just to support him there. And just the way you're talking about the music program that you lead, it really reminds me of the martial arts studio, and just this very clear vision, clear values always being reinforced. Uh-huh. I mean, they have things like, I don't know, in the Taekwondo, I can't remember them all, but it's like perseverance, courtesy, indomitable spirit. But this is like, you see it on the Taekwondo wall every time you go. And you are kind of reminding me right now of the director, they call him, you know.
The sensei, right?
Yeah, whatever his title is, you know. But I'm new, so I'm not really dialed. I'm like the lowest rank. I've been the lowest rank for like 7 months. And my son is like the highest, you know, and he's 12. But I loved it. So just if people are just tuning in, or if you're forwarding around to different chapters on YouTube or wherever it is, this is Adrian Gordon. The book is Note to Self. And it's all about, for teachers, how to build your programs, how to make effective programs, whether you're starting a new program, whether you're teaching in classrooms, especially for any kind of music teachers. I wanted to go to this, a second question for you, if that's okay.
Sure.
So tips for maintaining physical, musical, mental, and emotional health in the position as a teacher of a private studio, of a director of a school program. What is this something that you, well, I guess you must, because I think you probably work like crazy. Plus you have kids, plus you do side, plus you get people hire you to go out and direct all states. And like, you're a composer, you're a prolific composer. I mean, you're an author. Yeah. So yeah. How do you do it? How do you do that?
Well, like you said, the teaching profession is not for the faint of heart, but I think it's important that we take care of ourselves. And I kind of liken it to when you're on an airplane and they say, if the oxygen mask drops down, make sure you put your own mask on before you help others. So you really got to take care of yourself if you want to be good for your students. So I think things like taking a break, you know, really simple ideas, just taking breaks, moving your body. And in the book, I talk about defying the chaos. I remember there were some times where I just would even hold off using the bathroom because I was so busy, and it's just not healthy. You know, it's really not good for you. I heard a colleague of mine say it's either you make time for wellness or you make time for illness.
What was there anything that happened that forced you? I mean, it sounds like you were at a place where you weren't taking care of yourself. Was there some kind of crisis that made you realize, like, wait, I can't do this, or like a wake up call or anything? Or
yeah, I think just I could notice things with my digestion and sleep. I wasn't taking care of myself as I should have, and that can be a wake up call because you want to be the best version of yourself, but that does require that you put that oxygen mask on before you start taking care of other people. So particularly with my own health, I decided, hey, these are some things that I've got to take care of if I want to be the best that I can as an educator. So I made it a point to just start taking little breaks, moving around, go for a walk. I got a smartwatch that tells me, hey, it's time to stand up, move around a little bit. I would do some breathing exercises. Eating well is another thing too, making sure that you bring healthy snacks, you know, a couple veggies here and there. And a big thing I think as educators is our lack of sleep. We don't sleep. We always bring work home. And, one of the big things I started doing was writing it down, so it doesn't kind of eat at your brain as you're trying to get some sleep, because it's really healthy to be getting your sleep in. And you don't want those little ideas keeping you up at night. So writing it down, I really, right now, I just kind of swear by my Google Tasks and just writing it down. So I'm not worrying about it as I'm going to sleep, and I know it's there for me the next day, you know? That's a big part of it.
I got to look into Google Tasks. I'm glad you said that. Something that comes up for me around teachers, because, you know, I was always, when I grew up, I was a performer. I just wanted to be a performer. And looking back on myself when I was younger, I think, like, yeah, I wanted praise. I wanted attention. I wanted people to like me, right? That was part of the inspiration to be a performer. And I couldn't even imagine teaching, because it just felt like such an energy suck. But then I started to get into it, you know, like 20 years ago, it was really hard. And then I think I just started to do it, maybe not even for the right reasons, you know, but just because it was like, okay, I can get an extra check or something when I'm on the road. But then I realized, like, wait, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it well, because it doesn't feel right. If I'm going in, I'm working with, they're expecting me to teach, I have to shift my energy a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to who am I as that educator, you know?
And then over the years, I kind of got, you know, I got pulled in. And now it's like, I'm like a real teacher. Like, I care about teaching. Like, I've developed a quote unquote teacher's heart, I'd like to think, at this point. And hopefully some skill at it too. But my point is, I teach a lot of teachers about certain things, not everything, but I mean, like, teachers come to me to learn certain types of skills. And what I notice is what you're speaking to, I feel like a lot of teachers, they just overgive and overgive and overgive, because there's this sense where, like, you can never give enough if you're a teacher, right? And so, I don't know, do you feel that's true?
Yeah, the boundaries for teaching, they're very blurred. Like I said, we always take work home. And as I said in the opening, we talk about our why we do what we do, and it's because we're in the field of people. And that can be endless, you know. So we've got to really be conscious of how we protect ourselves physically, taking care of ourselves. And again, that analogy of just that oxygen mask that comes down, you got to take care of yourself, put that oxygen mask on first before you help
Boundaries.
others. So that's really important. And what was the second part of your question? I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't articulate it very well. That's on me. I guess I was just reflecting that also, if you think about therapists or caregivers, probably primary caregivers in the home, probably also people in hospitals and doctors and therapists and, you know, in any of these industries where, you know, success is defined by taking care of other people or pouring into other people. I can imagine people overdoing it or not setting boundaries. And I just hear you're giving people like clear a directive and or permission that like you have to set these boundaries. You can, you know, ministers, I'm thinking about ministers too, you know, and people like
Yes, because they're the pastoral care, they're really into helping people. And you really got to be thoughtful about if I want to help people, I really do have to help myself. So yeah, I would agree with that sentiment where we really got to be conscious of what we're doing day to day. And you got to set those boundaries. And in the book, I talk about one of the biggest things you got to be conscious of is your effect on your family. And come to an agreement with your own family, whatever that looks like. Hey, you know what? This is the time I'm going to spend at work, and this time's off limits. This is only for family time, and I'm not going to mess with that. And I think if you set that expectation early on and let people know that, hey, this time is off limits, and I'm not going to respond to emails at that point, and I'm not going to be out, you know, at all hours of the weekend to help do this and that. I think it's valuable, and it pays off for your mental health, your family life, which is really, really important.
if you are a bowed string player or bowed string teacher and you'd like to amplify your instrument, play with effects, use loop pedals, and learn all the things electric strings, turn to Electric Violin Shop. You can find them at electricviolinshop.com. One of my favorite things about them is that their phone number is listed at their website, and you can call that phone number and speak with a human during business hours, and they will answer literally any question you have about electric string gear. Thanks to Electric Violin Shop for promoting or sponsoring us, rather. Again, learn more about them at electricviolinshop.com. I also want to thank our sponsor, Yamaha. Creative string players depend on Yamaha. Teachers can find free resources for music educators at Yamaha's Facebook group for music educators, as well as online if you look for Yamaha Music Educators Suite. Thanks to Yamaha for sponsoring Creative Strings podcast. And now let's get back to the conversation with Adrian Gordon.
If someone is getting ready to launch either a school year or, you know, like a new course that they're teaching online, a music class or like a semester or something, how do you prep? You know, do you have tips for how to best prep for that?
Yeah, and it's the first thing I would say, and it's not always possible, but try and connect with the outgoing director. Sometimes it's possible, sometimes it's not. But if you can connect, ask them questions about the program, get the history, get the ins and outs, who to know, who to talk to. But a lot of times that's not really possible. So there's a couple of things that I've kind of gone through, which I think are helpful. But the big thing is yearbook study. If you can get a yearbook and go through and learn people's names, you've taken a huge load off of your plate, and you know exactly who to talk to right before the school year starts. Who's in this department? Who's in that department? Who do I need to talk to for this? You're kind of front loading all that work and really helping yourself get ahead. And it's really important because as you start the school year, you're going to be bombarded with tons of things. So that's a great way, I think, to just get started. And it's kind of low key. You take your own time and go through the yearbook and learn faces, learn names. And I think it helps with your connection to your students. They feel like, oh, you know, they know my name already, you know. I think that really speaks to them and speaks to their hearts. So it's that's one thing that's really important. And then I think finding a mentor. A lot of times schools are pretty good about saying, hey, I'm going to pair you up with so-and-so, and they're going to kind of walk you through the school year and answer questions. So that's a really good thing. And if they don't, you just got to take that initiative and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to find a mentor. And it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody in the music department. It can be somebody who's just been there a while, who gets along with everybody, you know, someone who knows the ins and outs of the school. And that can be really helpful. I think also what I've noticed is if you can get your hands on some past concert program booklets and you can kind of see what the history of whatever ensemble you're teaching is. So maybe you're teaching band and you want to see, oh, I don't know what level they're playing at. I'm coming into this blind. If you can get your hands on that and kind of see what kind of repertoire they've done, if you can get your hands on some videos, if people have posted on social media, and see where they are and really come into it knowing, okay, I got to meet them where they are. This is where I want to be, but now realistically, here's where I really know they are. And you can really meet them in that level. I think that goes a long way in kind of clearly defining your goals and really helping them along. And then I also have some beginning of the year checklists, just things that I kind of go through, which help me prioritize, because you don't want to go in just, okay, yep, where do I go? Hair on fire.
Yeah. Templates are good, right? And structure. It sounds like just getting yourself organized. So again, this is in the book, Note to Self, A Music Director's Guide for Transitioning to a New School and Building a Thriving Music Program. And yeah, I'll add to that and say, whether you're at a school or not, whether you're doing, you know, if you're doing a private studio, I feel like a lot of this is going to be, you know, be an online music teacher, whatever it is. This could be for young people coming out of the gate and just thinking about starting teaching. It could be for teachers that have been teaching for a while, but they're transitioning to a different situation, or they just want to find some grounding in the holiday or whatever it is. Note to Self by Adrian Gordon. Also, for any of the orchestral people in the audience, I just want you to check out Adrian Gordon's original music. Most of it's orchestral, is that right?
Yeah, most of it's orchestral. Only one full orchestra piece that I've done so far, but really proud of all the stuff that I've been doing. And I've got a really nice piece that I'm super excited that's coming out with Alfred Music in May. It's my favorite piece I've written so far, so I hope that the world likes it.
What's the instrumentation of some of your pieces? Because I'm actually looking, I'm doing a classical program. I don't know if you know Quentin Morris, but he's in Seattle, and he's bringing me out to do a classical concert with the pianist. And I'm finding repertoire, and so I'm looking. So I need to have violin and piano repertoire or unaccompanied. And I know you have one. There's a piece I heard, I think last time, like a couple years ago, it's like in G, it's like a solo piece for violin. I was going to try to find that.
Yeah, again. I've got four now since I showed you that one.
But solo pieces?
Solo, unaccompanied violin. Okay. I've been really gravitating towards that, where I just figure out, how do I want to play my instrument, you know, with nobody around. Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting around, tooling around on my instrument, and I just want to make music. No fluff. I don't want any, have to call anybody. Just, I want to make music. And that's the way it's supposed to sound.
What other instrumentation are your pieces written for? You have a lot, right?
Yeah, I have a lot, but typically it'll be either solo violin or solo viola, or it'll be string orchestra. That's the main medium that I'm composing.
Okay. String orchestra. And a lot of it, is there certain levels that it's typically written for your string orchestra rep? Is it like middle school, high school, or is it all across the?
Yeah, it's been all across the spectrum. I've really done quite a bit with elementary, middle, and high school. So
okay,
I've enjoyed all that.
So string orchestra directors especially look for Adrian Gordon's works for string orchestra. Violinists, check out the unaccompanied stuff. How can they find all your published music? What's the best ways?
Best way is just to go to adriangordonmusic.com. Everything's there. And if you want to buy something, it's there. All the links are there for them. So.
And also this book, Note to Self, A Music Director's Guide for Transitioning to a New School and Building a Thriving Music Program. They can find this at adriangordon.com. Is that right?
AdrianGordonMusic.com.
Sorry, AdrienGordonMusic.com. Okay.
Right.
I love this. Man, this is amazing. What else do we not cover? I was just going to tell people the chapters in the book, if that's okay.
Sure.
I'm so impressed that this is like a real legit book. Chapter one, why versus what? Chapter two, just how to just be yourself. Chapter three, now that it's official, signs, and you got song titles. The book is really cool the way you've laid it out. Chapter four, taking care of yourself physically, musically, mentally, and emotionally. Five, letting go of your former role. Mm-hmm. Number six, type of change to expect in the next few years. Mm-hmm. Seven, building community. I think that sounds really important. Like, just how do you build community? Number eight, realizing that the grass isn't greener, I guess. That's, yeah, that's interesting.
That
like
happens
I feel sometimes. Like this is all like applicable to like personal development for.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you say that. My brother said the same thing over Thanksgiving. He's like, I'm getting this book. And you know, he's my brother, but he's like, this really applies to what I'm doing. He's a doctor. So he's like, this applies to what I'm doing too. So it's funny that you mentioned that.
Wow. 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 Yeah. 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 And wait, but did I meet one of your brothers though, also, who was a teacher?
Yes. Yes. I have two brothers. One's he's an actor. So you've probably seen him on commercials, and he's on like, what's this TV show? Miraculous Ladybug. And he also teaches, does a lot of behind the scenes directing and stuff like that. But my other brother, he's a doctor.
Wow.
And, you know, he's been kind of reading through, thumbing through my book, and he picked out some lines. He's like, man, this applies to what I'm doing as a doctor, not just as a music teacher.
Because I thought I met your brother at lunch when we were in Miami at one of your former schools.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my older brother. And my younger brother, he's out in Atlanta now. He just moved from Houston to Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's a doctor out there. He just finished residency and now he's doing a fellowship, and then he's going to be an attending, a full-blown attending doctor. So,
and can you talk about the program or that you're involved with now? Is that something you're able to talk? Do you want to talk about it at all, or are you allowed?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. So I'm, I was born and raised in Miami, and just got here to Charlotte, North Carolina, back in the summer in June. And what brought me out here was a really wonderful school called Providence Day School. It's a private school. And I've been working with the orchestra program. I'm the director of orchestras there. And I teach grades 5 through 12, all strings. It's been fantastic so far. I've been really well received. And it's a really, really nice community, really welcoming, and really focused on building diversity, which I'm really grateful for. And I have a lot of respect for that.
Yeah. I was down in Charlotte, and I mentioned the school to a couple people, and they said, "Oh, Providence Day School. That's like it's like a really big deal." Apparently, to people I asked about it in Charlotte, it's apparently.
Yeah, I don't know any better. I'm from Miami, so it's all the same.
Oh man, that's cool. And well, chapter nine, letting your concert embody your vision of excellence. Chapter 10, making your vision come to fruition. So this is a real book. Congratulations, my friend. I'm just delighted to know you. And yeah, I'm glad to share this. So everybody, check out AdrienGordonMusic.com. Get the book, Note to Self. And also check out his original music. A lot of original music, sheet music there that you can get that he's written himself, published himself while teaching for 18 years, while raising a family, while doing all these all state things, people hiring you to come here and do this and do that. Yeah, man, this is really cool. Anything else I should let people know how they should connect with you? Just go to the website, or is there anything else you want people to know about?
No, I think you got most of it. And I'm just really appreciative. I know you've kind of walked through this journey with me for years now, so you've seen my growth, and you know, I'm appreciative of you and our friendship and our connection. So thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. My pleasure. All right. Thank you again, Adrian. Yeah.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Adrian Gordon. Again, find him at AdrienGordonMusic.com. I want to thank our sponsors, Yamaha, creative string players depend on Yamaha, and Electric Violin Shop. You can reach out to them via their website, electricviolinshop.com, where they have their phone number listed. And they are just great with helping people on the phone with any questions you have. Don't forget to check out all the resources that we offer at Creative Strings, including, especially for teachers, professional development, in-person and Zoom, school visits, residencies, collaborative concerts. We license curriculum for teachers to use with your students to teach improvisation, eclectic styles, and related subjects. And we've got hundreds of free play-along videos that your students will love. Many different styles for many different levels. Talk about getting your students to be learning independently. That's why I love making those. And if there's a certain type of video you'd like, or a topic or a song, feel free to reach out to me. You can find me at chris@christianhouse.com. Just send me an email there, or visit either of our websites, christianhouse.com or creativestrings.org. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to see you in another episode soon.